Good evening and welcome, you yellow dogs, you, to another Monday evening together. Suffering together. So let's begin tonight just a reflect maybe on last week's lesson, remembering and recalling what we have learned in this mindfulness meditation practice that could actually help us with living with this overwhelming state of affairs. It took me a while to realize I had heard it from my teachers, but I can't remember exactly, but when it happened, but I now understand this practice provides a refuge. And it's a refuge from the world of turmoil. And sometimes just a refuge from the world, because life's not easy. So what can we do? Or what are we doing to go for the real truth of what's happening daily? Well, we get the truth of what's happening in the country daily from our trusty journalist. And we find that out from each other and our own discoveries. But there's another truth. How about the truth of how we are relating to these worldly truths? Again, that's bringing in our practice. How are we relating? And of course, we know we can go to our bodies, which can be that information is detected in our bodies. And it can bring us more clarity with the chaos, because we know how to become informed about ourselves from ourselves. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? We know how to get information, truth, the absolute truth about ourselves from ourselves. And most of us don't know that or have any idea that knowledge is available to us, or when it becomes so important to us. Because we practice things like ways and things on how to get to know ourselves, how to inform us about ourselves. Sounds primary, doesn't it? But we use rain, that's another thing, because we practice throughout the day or any time we can remember that it's important to recognize and to allow and to be aware of what's going on in any given moment. Getting in touch. That's what we've practiced in a meditation. How do we get in touch with the truth of what's going on inside? Because what's going on inside has everything to do with how we're relating to life. And we're privy to that information because we've trained. We've been training for that information. So we're not always looking for distractions. I mean, we are looking for distractions, but we know we're looking for distractions, and the distractions are quite bona fide because we know we're in touch with the truth that's what we're doing. But even with us knowing we have a choice, it does take right action. And so that's where the teachings come in. That's why I've always stressed and will continue that it's not just about sitting on the cushion and meditating, because there's a map to be followed that probably would be available to us if we maybe stayed in retreat for the rest of our lives. But however, we're busy living our lives in the way we're doing it. So we stay informed about ourselves. And so our leaders of today say, yeah, you're going to have to be informed about what's happening within our country and then be able to act in ways that are compassionate and maintains our connection, and to do it with an open heart. My, that's not asking too much, is it? Do it with an open heart. Wow. So when I open my eyes and it registers that I'm in the middle of chaos, feeling overwhelmed, lost, and I have to say pissed, where do I start? Well, at our house, we start with our morning daily practice because it gives us some information and allows us to choose through intention the direction that we want our day to go towards. And it's powerful if we use it, if we just talk about it or hear about it, but it's powerful if we take it and put action behind it. Because we can see directly for ourselves what's causing the unease. And unease is where the disease comes. So is ease important for us? Yes. So feeling at ease should be a priority, or would be a great priority for us each day. And some say what's unfolding now in our country, and we're beginning to see that directly, is a well-designed intention of overwhelming us. It's working. It's happening. We feel it. We're with it. So our emotions, along with everyone else, has been stirred. And we are being reintroduced to our fears, our anger, our sadness. We're hanging out with all that stuff right now. But it's so difficult to do it with ease. So, what part of the practice do we begin to rely on that brings us the equanimity that we've been trained for? And what to stress right now in our daily meditation as we set the day's intentions? Because that's a very important intention right now, is setting intentions. In the morning's a good time to do it. Where are we going to point ourselves? Worry, oh, let's talk more about it. Let's really, really talk about it. Let's stay attached to our devices as much as possible because we want to know before anybody else does what where the next worry is going to be, what its subject is. So it's how we are relating to life right now that is causing our suffering, and it's information that we know how to get. So why not look at the stress, our own stress, our personal stress, up close? Ooh, hello. Hello, a variety of stress that I feel in my body. And, you know, no, most people don't have an inkling of how to do that, or even that's a possibility. Because when we know ourselves, we have more control of ourselves. If we are lost in the world or we're lost to ourselves, then that's where we are. We're just wallowing in the worry. So it's important that we need to do things, need to take action. We need to act. We need to speak up so as not to be complicit to the misery. So last week, we reminded ourselves that the true nature of the mind includes that the mind can't be trusted. So let's look at our minds. Let's get to know what's going on. Let's not be confused about what the mind is saying. So we go to the cushion with that intention of being quiet and still so we can directly experience what is the mind doing. So our mindfulness bell throughout the day allows us to ask that very same question over and over again. That's when we're really getting in touch with how we're living our lives and how we are relating to amount of chaos that seems to be just too much. So with what we know about ourselves, then we know what to do. Because again, here, we do listen to the teachings. We do apply what we know. And when we start listening to ourselves and understand what is actually going on inside, we might say to ourselves, go for a walk. Go get a massage. Watch a good movie. Read a Mary Oliver's poem. Swing. Swing your body if you don't have a swing. Take a nap. Just 30 minutes, though. Lay on your back and look up at the sky. We had a teacher, he's no longer on the planet, but Wes Nisker's taught us to shift that perspective and to enable ourselves to look down at the sky. So try that. How does one look down at the sky? Well, it's possible. So we want to pay attention each morning on some of the ways to relieve our suffering. We are going to where we can get firsthand information about what's going on, what the mind is saying, and then we can shift to action. And we can rely on what brings us to the connection that is so important with all beings. All beings, the good ones, the bad ones, the ugly ones, the really ugly ones. So maybe working with equanimity, because equanimity, and we can look for that and enabled it, is a state of mental calmness and evenness of temper. Don't we all want that? And haven't we all experienced that so we know it's available? And they're useful in navigating these challenges that we're experiencing right now. Oh, I do long for the gift of equanimity. But my impatience usually overtakes the moment. Trying to get something done as fast and quickly as possible. But you're retired. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Things need to be done fast. So sooner than soon and faster than fast. And usually what I do is I want something yesterday, so I begin any moment of tasking or warning with a strong desire of wanting it now. So I know that about myself. So can I set an intention to look at that when it arises? Looking for it throughout the day, maybe. Noticing it, recognizing it, and allowing it, and becoming interesting about it. And our body tells us the truth, and it's where we're connected with ourselves. So lacking the ability to pause and face my impatience is something to be considered. So, what is the essence of equanimity? It's called upekkha in the Buddhist philosophy, and it's the capacity to remain balanced and centered amidst life's highs and lows. So we can do that. We can start noticing. It enables us to experience all these intense emotions without being overwhelmed. And remember what our emotions are. Well, first of all, that's not who we are, but we all have them. But emotions are really, really strong feelings. And when they come up, they demand our attention. That's what all the fuss is about. So that if we can be true to those emotions, to go to the body and acknowledge, okay, this is what I'm feeling right now. This is the truth of this moment. The truth of this moment is that I'm having this emotion. I know what to do, recognize it and allow it. And isn't it interesting? What I found out lately, relatively lately, is because I can feel it in my body when I like and don't like something. I've been trained that way. That's the practice. Well, this is what I figured out about myself, and so now I can work with it. About the fourth time, it varies, about the fourth time I push against something I don't like, I develop an attitude. It's kind of like, okay, I've had enough. This is not part of life. I shouldn't be not liking these amount of things. But that's not true. That is just not true. It's just that I don't know what to do with what I don't like. And it's so simple that I forget, because all I have to do is be with it. Oh, this is what not liking feels like. I can feel that in my body. I can recognize you. I know you. I've seen you. That's where the interest steps in, is when we get that interested about ourselves. And it allows the spaciousness that we need to respond instead of react. So really knowing and understanding how important it is that we know directly, experientially, the truth of any moment. And how many times do we touch that place? Because the only life that we're going to live is going to be in that moment. Everything else is conceptualized. So, what is happening right now in this turbulent moment? Feeling it in our body, being with it, saying, okay, I see you. And our emotions need our recognition. And they need allowing them to be there and accept them. Not push them away. Or if we don't push them away, then we start wallowing in them. We add more emotions to our emotions so that we can prolong the suffering. So it takes courage to allow us to open to our true feelings. And it fosters a deeper connection with ourselves and consequently with the world around us. So, is it possible that we can respond with equanimity rather than overreacting? Only if we know when we're doing it. Oh, so that's what waking up means. Oh, I get it. Waking up to what's happening in the moment in any given time will give me the kind of peace that I deserve. So it's helpful to regain balance with patience and equanimity. And mindfulness of the body allows me to physically experience that resistance and to allow it, and to be with it, and to invite it in to my life. Because otherwise, what we do in pushing it away is it hurts. If we're paying attention to our bodies, we see it physically hurts. So, Ajahn Sumedho simply says, keep asking yourself, it's like this. It's like this, and now it's like this. Oh, and now it's like this. So I guess I better be going down to some of the practices that we might could bring into our daily practice. And first of all, and we've talked about this before, go ahead and increase the time that you're sitting. It's a good time to do it. And that regular meditation, that time that we are quiet and with ourselves, again puts us closer to the reality of life. And our practice is enabling us to observe our thoughts and emotions. And we can do it without being so attached to them, because we are getting to know them in a whole nother reference, frame of reference. But another thing is being kind to ourselves. How many times do we have to remind ourselves of that? Well, every time. Every time we think about it. Because self-care enables the type of life that we really want. And you know what I mean by self-care. Inner peace. What do we do within our lives on a daily basis that encourages, that supports that inner peace that we all want? Letting go of control. That's a big one, isn't it? But how we work with that is every time we notice that we're controlling, is that's all we have to do is notice it. Allow it. Because just that process and becoming interested in it weakens it. But you've got to find that out for yourself. It works. It actually weakens it. And the more we do it, of course, you know how it goes. So cultivating equanimity and patience empowers us to face life's challenges with courage, compassion, and balance. And so let's begin again. Let's begin again every moment. Let's begin again every morning with our sitting. And let's add some dialogue to ourselves about our intention, where we want to go today. And we know that intentions aren't goals, so we're not going to put extra pressure on ourselves. We're just going to point ourselves. And so with that, I'm going to stop and say thank you. And now we'll open it up to you.